Welcome to Milkshake Monday, episode 206. This is a production from the new company, Fordo's Production, and I'm Anita Helm. Tonight, we're going to talk about the author of life, from coat to robes. Now, I must tell you all that I've been so blessed by your reaction to the new picture. I cannot take any credit for the new Facebook picture, profile picture, because that's from B. Brown Photography. And for the next few weeks, you're probably going to see some very nice pictures that I can thank Miss Beverly Brown and her efforts for doing a wonderful job for our Fordo's Productions company. Now, for you intercessors, I must ask you to be in intercessory prayer for the upcoming week. Always, I love the prayers and encouragement that you all do, but this Friday will be the opportunity that I will be coming to speak at Dulles South Senior Center in Chantilly, and I'm going to be doing Stand Failure, Overcoming Regrets, to the seniors there. So I just ask your prayers and to keep that opportunity something that will be God-honoring and that lives will be changed for the glory of the Lord. It's not a religious opportunity because it is an opportunity to share about regrets and overcoming them, but it's always an opportunity for whatever the Lord will shine through my life in order to encourage others. So I wanted to share that. So tonight is going to be a discussion about purpose and destiny, but it's also going to talk about Jesus Christ as the author of life. And we're going to go to the scripture, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, because we often hear about the Lord being the Word of God. And of course he is. But there's a passage that says that that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And I'm going to show something about you and I that we need to understand about the author of life and how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit know so much about the story of our life. Even before we were even in our mother's wombs, each of us, that God, meaning the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they are eternal and they know the plan of God, the divine plan of God, and you and I, they knew us before we were even in our mother's womb, before our mother and our father, the seed was ever planted, they knew us. I want y'all to just take a moment and understand that. I don't even know if we can really fathom it, because it's something that's, it's hard to understand how you can be known before you even exist. But that's how God is. So the word of God in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." So you and I are mankind. And because of the breath of life that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ in each and every one of us, we're alive. But we were known by the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit before mom and daddy came together. Now, I want you to see that I'm not just making this up. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And the thing about our life is that we're always thinking that we have a better idea about our life than God. But God, who knows us, who already knows our ending, who knew our beginning and our middle and before our beginning, is trying to share with us through the Word of God who he is, what he wants for our purpose and our divine plan. And there's a reason why it says, pray without ceasing. Pray and be connected to who he is and what he wants for you and my life, our life. And we're going to see a story tonight that shows that God knew from the beginning, even to the point of sharing the message of who this person was going to become in a dream. But the thing about what we don't understand is that God knows everything, good, bad, and in between about our lives. But he wants to share with us, trust him, listen to him, follow him, let him lead you, let him give you foresight about what's ahead. Let him give you guidance. That's why when you start to see things about Psalm 23, that's because he knows so much about us. So let's go to this Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. I'm reading out of the NIV. And this is sharing about his life, his calling. And it says here, "The word of the Lord came to me saying," now didn't we just hear that John 1 says that he, in the beginning, he was the Word. "So the word of the Lord came to me saying, before," Y'all hear that? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord. I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. Don't y'all remember Moses saying to the burning bush, to the word, speaking to him, the excuses? And some of us, as we find ourselves in our life, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too poor. I'm too rich. I'm too. And God has to come back and check us because he's known us before we were born. He knows the pages in our book. He knows us more intimately than we know, than our mom and daddies know, than our siblings know, that the people on the outside looking at this outside flesh know. But here's what the Lord says in verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to say whatever I command you. I got to tell y'all something. Why you're doing intercessory prayer for me is because the Lord has been speaking to me. I'm sending you out to the vineyard. Y'all know every week I've been saying when I teach Milkshake Monday, at the end of it, I say the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Well, the Lord is saying, I'm sending you, Anita, out to the vineyard. And I see what he's saying to Jeremiah. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and you will rescue you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. That's the prayer that I have to hold on to. That's the word of God speaking to me for Fordo's production. It's not about Anita. It's not about me. It's about him and what he's commanding for the people that need him. Verse 9 says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I'm not going to cry, but God is touching my heart. Said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I was telling the family on the teleconference, I said, I never hardly get headaches. But I know there's a reason why this has got to be spoken tonight, because there's an attack of a headache that was coming against me. But praise the Lord, God is overcoming it. Now, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. I want to set the foundation about the author of life, because when you see the story tonight, I want you to see yourself. I want you to go before the Lord in your private time, and I want you to talk and listen. Because the God who knows you and who has known you before you were even in your mother's womb, even before you were born, has always understood and recognized who he made you to be, who you're becoming, what your purpose and your destiny. And you have to understand, it's not about all those things that you're saying, I'm too young, I'm too this, God. God is saying, don't say that. Don't say that. Seek him. Seek his purpose for your life. Seek the destiny that why he knew you before you were born. What is his purpose? Psalm 139 verses 13 through 18 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So he knew you before your mother's womb, but even when you got in your mother's womb, he was fashioning and knitting you together, knitting you. There is no one, I don't care if you are an identical twin, there is no one identical to what God has knitted and fashioned you for and your purpose. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Do y'all know how God loves us? He's just speaking to my heart. He loves each and every one of us enough that Christ came and laid down his life. And he's trying to pour out his spirit among those of us who are Matthew 28 to go in the Great Commission, making disciples, because there's so much love of Christ, but the people don't want to hear it because they're hearing the foolishness of man. They're hearing what Satan is lying to them. That's why the suicide rates are up. That's why the drug addiction is up. That's why all of these things are up, because they're not hearing from us what God is telling us about the love of Jesus Christ. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me. The good times, the bad times, the in-between times, the trauma times, the I can't believe this is happening to me times, all the things that were going on. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. Stop thinking that God doesn't know what you got going on. He's known it. He's just waiting for you to stop and lift your head up to the hills, which cometh your help. Your help comes from above, and he's there to be with you. He's there to give you understanding. We're learning about the word to submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he'll flee. But all of us are doing our own thing. We don't want to submit to God, but he's the very one, the being supernatural, sovereign Lord that knows everything about you and what's coming up and what's been in the past. He's the only one who knows it. Mama doesn't know what she don't know. Daddy don't know what he don't know. Your husband, your boyfriend, your partner, your siblings, your children, they don't know what they don't know, but our Lord does, because the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Now, the example of the person we're going to talk about, you all are going to know this story. But I had the understanding, and people say, how do you get these teachings? It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I will have an ear to hear what he's saying, and there will be something that will spark in my spirit, and I'll say, okay, Lord, I'll write it down. And for the rest of the days, I listen, I hear. And I can tell you, I wake up with a phone beside me, because sometimes I got to dictate what the word of God is speaking to my heart. And I got to tell y'all something. I did not know this, and I'm going to tell y'all this. We have heard the story of Joseph. I know, decades. Decades. But I want y'all to think about this, because when God told me this, I said, whoa, are you serious, God? In all the stories of Joseph, you have never heard the words in the story of Joseph, where's my coat? What happened to my coat? What happened to the coat that daddy gave me, the coat of many colors? He went through all of what he went through. He never said, where's my coat? And when we look at this testimony, this story, I want y'all to learn about a few things. He didn't live in his past. Some of y'all living in the past of bad relationships, bad decision-making, things where you did stuff that was outside the will of God, things that you hurt other people, things that you want to make amends to other people. You can't live in the past. Joseph has gone through a lot. But you didn't hear the Holy Spirit in the divine revelation of this teaching of Genesis in the story from 37 to 50. He didn't say, where's my coat? So when you start to see from coat to robes, you got to understand what the destiny that the Lord has for your life. Stop living in your past. Stop living in the I'm too young moments of your life. the Lord, the sovereign Lord who has known you before you were in your mother's womb, before you were born, has destined you for his service, for his purpose, for the lives you are going to touch, for the salvation of mankind, which he is the life of mankind. Now, the reason I'm going to start from the ending and not go to Genesis 37 first, we're going to go to Genesis 50, verse 20. And I'm going to summarize a couple of things that happened in verses 18 and 19 so you can understand some things. His brothers who have done evil to him. The thing about the past, you can be sure that the people who have wronged you in the past, they think about it. You think that they don't think about it. Oh, they don't care. They did this bad thing to me. But the people that have wronged you and they know you're a Christian believer, they can maybe not say anything to you, but in their minds, it's going to be brought up. And it may not be brought up in this life, but if they find themselves in hell, it's going to be brought up and they're going to remember it. But here we have his brothers, the brothers of Joseph, after the death of their father, they're worried, they're afraid that Joseph's going to have some revenge and retaliate. And so they send a messenger to tell a lie about what they say the daddy said. But all that we're going to learn about those brothers is that they have a tendency to lie, make crap up to save their hide, to get revenge, to do what they want to do, to put a false narrative on something. And we're going to see that in a minute. But they come to Joseph. And you're going to see, if you read the scripture of Genesis 50, Joseph starts to cry. Because when God works in your life, shows you the level of forgiveness and understanding of what he has done for you. And you can see the story of Joseph. He's gone from the pit, betrayal of his brothers, Potiphar's house, falsely accused of rape, in the prison and forgotten. He's gone through a lot. And some of y'all gone through a lot. Y'all gone through some pain, some hurt, some trauma in your past. But Joseph has come to understand that God has shown him favor. That in spite of everything that's gone on, you don't see him complaining. You don't see him going through the past. You don't see him bringing up when he meets his brother, all that stuff that's gone on. You don't see, oh, I remember why y'all do this. None of that. But the brothers can't get over the past and the evil that they did. They can't get over it. And so they say to him this lie. And Joseph cries because he probably understands the truth of what's going on. They lying about daddy because he's talked to daddy. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, and I'm speaking out of the English Standard Version, talking to his brothers. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. As for you, you meant evil against me. And we're going to see in Genesis 37, they meant evil against him. He didn't go through the whole list of what they did, how they did it, why they did it. He didn't say, where's my coat? He didn't say why, none of that. But he understood, you all, my brothers, y'all meant evil against me, but God. Y'all got to get to the but God moments of your past. But God. Yeah, I had a failed marriage, but God. Yeah, I had failed finances, but God, yes, I gave some bad decision-making in my life, but God. But God meant it for good. We always say, all things work together for good, that those that are called to the Lord, called for his purpose. But God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God knows that some of you, in the work that he has for you, if you would stop complaining about how sick you are, how you're too old, how you're too this, how you're too that, how you don't have this, but if you stop complaining and know who's with you, who's been with you even before you were born, who's fashioned and knitted you together, you would understand your purpose of the call the Lord has on your life is to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what God's purpose is for all of us. It's not his will that any would perish. And guess what? If you would stop crying about your spilt milk of your past and start living in the today of what God has for you today. Some people will be alive to know who Christ is and know that they have someone that loves them, that they're not forgotten, that they're not alone, that they don't have to stay in that pity party, that they don't have to feel so low, so depressed, so disappointed if you would just share the love of God. But Joseph says to his brothers, family folk, people that should have loved him but didn't, people that did evil. He ain't talking about the past, but he is understanding their intention. He understood it was evil. He wasn't being crazy to say, hey, I don't know what y'all did. I'm little Pollyanna. I don't know what. No, he knew everything that they did was wrong and evil, and he knew their intention. But he says here, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I read that scripture, the same scripture out of the NIV that I read out of the ESV, because I wanted you to hear it a different way. The same message. The King James says it this way. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. I just wanted y'all to hear that. But here's the thing I want to tell y'all too. You understand what evil's been done against you. And maybe some people will come to themselves and they'll ask you for your forgiveness. Maybe they won't. You know, a lot of people, when they go through recovery, they come back and they do their amends. You have to forgive. God forgives us. We have to forgive them. But guess what? If you don't really believe me, think about 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love. If you have the love of God in your heart because Christ forgave you, we have these scriptures that we say, love keeps no record of wrongs. We go to the disciples' prayer. Forgive us this day. You know, we say these things as children, as adults, and we just kind of rant people call it the Lord's Prayer, but the disciples' prayer in Matthew 6. But we need to understand we got to forgive even the people that did us wrong. You can't go back to say, where's my coat? Coat is gone. You got robes now. Joseph is in the palace wearing robes now. He's not wearing a coat of many colors anymore. He's not saying, where's my coat? God has given him robes now. But before he got to the robes, he was in the pit. He's falsely accused in Potiphar's house, and he went to prison. So you don't always get your robes right after the coat. It says from coat to robes, but there's a story, there's a journey, and guess what? There are plot twists that we don't understand, but God has already seen the story's ending. But he knew the beginning, he knew the middle, and he knows the ending, and he's just trying to get your attention to say, if you would give me some time, give me some attention. Be intentional to read and study the Word of God. I'm going to share and prepare you for some things. And I'm going to tell you, even when you go through the pit, when you go through the situation that you're in the prison, and even when you find yourself in the palace, maybe the White House, and maybe Congress, and maybe your role is this, that, and the other, you have to still seek the Lord because he knows all the plot twists. He knows all the people that have the intention for evil that he already knows he's going to make it for good, but you don't. So you got to be careful what you're listening to, what you're watching, who you're surrounding yourself with, but you need to be praying without ceasing. And that's not you being super religiosity to everything you say has to be a scripture out of your mouth. I'm not saying that, but be attentive to be aware and to be alert. Okay, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. So we hear this message from Joseph to his brothers, but I wanted y'all to see what happened in Genesis 37, because that coat and that past was surrounded in lies. And if you focus on your past, you may know exactly how it happened, what happened, but you understand something, that the people that recount your history lie. They can say, oh, Anita, she did that. She did this. This is what happened in her past. They don't know what happened in your past. They can lie about what happened in your past. They can lie to other people who are being told about your past. And the people hearing their story may believe a lie, but God knows the truth. So everything that you may hear in Genesis 37 is not his past, the way that it unfolded, because they were lying to cover themselves, to keep themselves looking one way when it was a lie of the devil. And praise God, Joseph was going through a path where he was present in his current state. He wasn't going, "Where's my coat?" He wasn't going to say, "What are they telling daddy?" But look at what was going on in Genesis 37. We're going to start at verse 19. It says here, the brothers are seeing Joseph come, and they're in Dothan. And he's spoken about a dream. Y'all got to go read the scriptures. And they're not happy about the dream because, see, they see something in his destiny. That's why you got to be careful who you tell your dreams to. Pray about that thing. Even pray, "God, who can I tell my dreams to?" Because you can't tell it to everybody, because everybody won't be happy with that, won't be joyful with, will be against it. That's why I couldn't say anything about four does until God gave me release to say about four does. Here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, "Come now, let's kill him." That's their brother. But because of the dreaming and the dysfunction of this family, killing your brother? We saw that in Genesis when Cain killed Abel. But here we are, Jacob's kids, Israel is his name, the nation of Israel, the kids, the patriarchs. "Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious," here's the lie. They've gone from the devil's "let's kill." Satan's whole purpose has always been to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's kill him and then let's lie. He's the father of lies. "Let's say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." They wanted to thwart, sabotage, destroy the destiny of God. That's what Satan wants to do in your life. He can do stuff that he thinks is going to take you off the path of God's destiny. But God already knows the plot lines. He already knew what's going to happen. And he's already got a plan of how the detour is going to be coming right exactly where he wants it to be. He knew about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Pilate. His son was going to get on that cross and do exactly what needed to be done for our eternal salvation. And he knows that Joseph's end is going to be from coat to the robes. But the brothers don't. The brothers are a tool which Satan is trying to make a change of what God has got intended for the dreamer. Because guess what? When Joseph opened his mouth to tell about the first dream, the second dream, there were people around to hear it. And there were demonic forces around to hear it. They may not have known everything, but they heard it enough that they said, "We got to make a change." Verse 21, when Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. And you know, it's weird to think Reuben said this, but then he went away. Verse 23, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Y'all going to read all that, but here's where the lie. They decide not to kill him. They're going to sell him. He's going to be a slave. So he's not killed, but he's going to be a slave. That's not a pretty picture, but he's going to be a slave. They are putting their brother into slavery. Go to verses 31 through 35 of that same Genesis 37. Here's the lie. And this is a pattern of how the lies of your past, that you don't need to be living in your past. Live in your present. Trust God for your present. Trust him that the truth of who and what he's doing in your life will be known. Now, you don't know the when, but the lie will be exposed. Verse 31 through 35. Now, I want y'all to think about this. God doesn't always say things, but y'all should see something in the story. Joseph is alive. Daddy's been told he's dead. In this passage we're going to read, he's told he's dead. But guess what? When he finds out his son is alive, he's got to realize he's been alive all this time. He has believed the lie about the ferocious animal and the bloody coat. But he's been believing a lie because his sons came back and lied. You don't think there was some conversation to say, how is it that your brother got to be in Egypt? How is it I sent him to find y'all and he found himself? Do you think that Joseph ever mentioned to his daddy about the story? You think he kept it quiet all those years? Verse 31 says, then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this. Lie. Examine it to see whether it's your son's robe. He is Jacob, the daddy. He recognized it and said, it's my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. He didn't have the right understanding of what was, because he'd been lied to by the people that supposedly loved him, but they hated their brother to the point of almost wanting to kill him, but selling him into slavery and come back and tell daddy lies and live with the fact that they sold their brother into slavery. And Joseph's father, Jacob, was thinking, he's so hurt. I'll join him when he dies. When he personally dies, I'll join my son. So his father wept for him. Now, y'all have to go read all these things, but I wanted you to say in your mind, when you start to contemplate the past, I want y'all to hear these words. Joseph never said, where's my coat? He never said, where's my coat? Where's my coat of many colors? Hey, I'm in the palace. Maybe I'll make myself one of them coat of many colors. He didn't need a coat of many colors. He had the robes of the palace. The Lord had elevated him just like he said in his dreams. He didn't need to go back to the past. He didn't need to be thinking about what the brothers were thinking about, worrying about him doing something destructive. He wasn't keeping a record of the wrongs of the past. He understood that God sent him on the journey that he had to go through. Because of that journey, he was able to be able to interpret dreams. God was allowing him to interpret dreams now. He had two dreams, but now in the pit, in Potiphar's house, in the prison, he's interpreting dreams. See how your path can grow you up? It's not always easy, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm going to do stand failure. I'm going to talk about my life story to the people that God is sending me out in the vineyard because I want them to understand. I'm not saying it to say, where's my coat? I'm going to say, look what the Lord did. What was meant for evil, God meant it for good. So I can be here and talk to you about the goodness of the Lord. I can talk to you to say, you're not alone. You're not the only one. Stand up. Don't fall down and stay down. But see, some of us have to get to the place to stop saying, where's my coat? You are living in the past. You have sabotaged your future because all you can do is be tied to that deadness of the past. That dead, bloody coat that's stinking. That's your past. Let it go. I wanted to read the last couple of scriptures for you. It's really three. And it's about us and the author of life and our witness for Christ and our purpose to spread the seed of the word or water the seed of the word and let the Lord have the increase in your present. When you stop saying to God, I'm too young, and stop focusing all that free rent in your head about the past. Yes, it was horrible to be raped. It was horrible to have the abortion. It was horrible to have all those things in your life, but it's the past. Stop asking where your coat is. God has forgiven it. God is healing you of it. God wants to heal you of it. But you can't dwell in the past. It's time to start the work of the ministry that God has ordained your life. Fashion your days in your book. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, my work was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos' work was to water it. But it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. The person who does, the planting or watering isn't very important, but God is important because he is the one who makes things grow. Apollos and I are working as a team with the same aim, though each of us will be rewarded for his own hard work. That's out of the Living Bible. We always hear someone plants, someone waters, but God gives the increase. I wanted you to hear that out of the Living Bible, because sometimes you hear things and you kind of just pass it over because you're so used to hearing it. Now I want to go to the scripture that I always say at the end of Milkshake Monday. But I want you to see out of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version, that Christ is the one speaking this. Tonight, you hear it out of Anita Helm's voice, but I want you to hear it through the Holy Spirit speaking through me, reading the Word of God. From John 1, he was the Word of God. He's the author of life. He's the light of mankind. Verse 35 says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Remember, he says, greater works will do. Come on, y'all. Let's get to work. When he saw the crowds, God is showing me, I'm sending you out to the vineyard. It's not important to me if the crowd is one, crowd is two, the crowd is 3,000, the crowd is just that one-on-one woman at the well experience. But he says in the scripture, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. God is giving you and he's giving me compassion for the people that are lost, the people that are hurting. He wants you to understand, don't tell him you're too young. Don't tell him, where's my coat? He's saying, I'm with you. He says in the scripture, Matthew 20, I will be with you till the end of the age. And he wants us to share his compassion, his love. But he's seeing these crowds and he's seeing these people crying in their houses. He's seeing these teenagers who think they want to kill themselves. He's seeing these mamas and daddies and these people in domestic abuse. He's seeing these people in all these situations. And he's seeing us talk about, where's my coat of my past? And he's saying, I need you to have compassion on the crowds. He saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're the laborers. He's asking for us to pray for laborers for the harvest. It's time. Time is going faster and faster. But it's time for you to get before the Lord and start having some conversation with him. And you need to start to do more listening and stop talking about the past and stop about talking about what you can't and how you feel bad and all these things that you've been saying. Stop complaining and stop comparing and just say, I yield, Lord. I submit myself to you. Do the work that you've known before I was in my mother's womb. Help me to live in the present of the destiny for the ordained pages of my book. That's your book that you know. So I thank God for tonight. I thank you for your prayers, your encouragement. Thank you for all that you have done and are doing for the purposes of the journey that is of my book. I thank you guys. I know you don't know how much you mean to my story, but I thank you. I truly thank you. And I pray the Lord will have his will in my life for whatever day. You know, I what William's life taught me, do everything you can every day to serve the Lord. And when that time comes that your journey ends, whether you know it or you don't know it, I seek God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I seek that with my heart. And I pray that you seek that with your heart, that he can say, I knew you before your mother's womb. I appointed you. I set you apart. And he can say to each and every one of us to say that we love him, that he'll say, well done. Okay? So I love you, and Lord willing, I hope to see you next week. God bless you.
God bless.